Well, good afternoon, Watford Town. It's a pleasure to be here with you. I'm going to have to try what Elder Richard talked about because my eyesight is not as great as it used to be. I'm going to give that a try, by God's grace. I bring you greetings from the Dagenham and the Leytonstone Church in East London. And it's good to see some familiar faces. Some people that I've worked with, praise the Lord, God is good. Shall we bow our heads for prayer? Loving Lord and Father, we thank you for, again, this opportunity to be in your presence. We pray for the Holy Spirit to speak, dear Jesus, that we may find something, dear God, to hold on to. We pray that you will bless us abundantly. And Lord, for me, I ask you to forgive me of my sins, iniquities, transgressions, biases, flaws, whatever stands as a barrier, Lord. Speak, Father, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. So we're going to stay in the book of 1 Kings, chapter 21, just to go over a very familiar story that we all know, or we should know, of Naboth, the Jezreelite. So I'm going to read verses 1 through to 3. And it says, "And it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spoke unto Naboth, saying, Give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house. And I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it. Or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. And Naboth said to Ahab, The Lord forbid it me, but I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. So it was about 874 BC when King Ahab ruled. He was the eighth king of Israel, and he ruled for approximately 22 years or thereabouts. He lived during the time of Elijah the prophet, and from what we know of Ahab, he was a very capable leader and military strategist. But he was an evil king. He was married to Jezebel, the daughter of the king of Sidon, a woman who promoted the worship of Baal. King Ahab and Queen Jezebel were the power couple of their time. She really influenced Israel to worship Baal. But yet, despite Ahab's wickedness and his alliance with Jezebel, God had delivered him on several occasions when Samaria was surrounded by the Aramean forces. But Ahab never seemed to give God the credit. It was one of those miraculous deliverances from the hand of Ben-Hadad that Ahab came back to his summer residence in Jezreel to rest. His heart was at ease, he was merry within himself, his kingdom was at peace, and his attention was drawn to a small vineyard that was next to his palace. Ahab wanted it. He saw it as his next project, a vegetable garden. So he made the necessary inquiries to find out who owned it, and the vineyard belonged to Naboth the Jezreelite, an upstanding Christian man. One day, King Ahab approached him and asked, "Can I purchase your vineyard?" Now, the language in the text suggests that Ahab made a genuine offer for the vineyard. In fact, Ahab was willing to pay anything over and above the market value. But unfortunately for him, Naboth just simply said, "The Lord forbid that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto you," in verse 3. Well, I think that Naboth was a very brave man. I'm not sure if King Charles summoned me to the palace that would be able to say a straight no just like that. But he did say no. It was against the law of a Jew to sell one's land, as we were listening today in Sabbath school, until it was, maybe if it was under severe poverty, or if there was an issue within your family. According to Leviticus 25, verse 23, it says that the land should not be sold forever, for the land is mine. You are strangers and sojourners with me. And in Ezekiel 46, verse 18, it says the prince or the king or the prime minister should not take advantage of his people. He should not oppress them, but he shall give his son's inheritance out of his possession, that my people would not be scattered, every man from his possession. So what we know of Naboth, he wasn't really a poor man. He could be middle class, we would say, and he wasn't in debt, and he didn't need funds to offset any unexpected bills. So he refused to sell on religious grounds. Naboth was bound by the law of God to keep God's commandments. You see, God was supreme in his life. And rather than offer, the land to the king, he would rather incur anger from him. And you know, friends, God has entrusted us with many things in this life: our intelligence, wisdom, skills, our talents, our giftedness, time, children, abilities to work, to learn, to mature. I could go on. And it is expected of us to be good stewards of all that God has given to us, because everything we have belongs to God. So when Naboth said no, Ahab was more than disappointed, according to verse 4. Ahab went away slightly angry. He was sulking. Things didn't go the way he expected. Ahab was so distressed that it affected his health. He wouldn't eat, the Bible says, and he wouldn't have any conversation or communication with anyone. And to me, he sounded like a child. You know, childish behavior. He could have got another vegetable garden because he was rich. He could have converted his residence into a vegetable patch if he wanted to, but he didn't. So the story demonstrates that you can have everything and still be selfish and self-centered and want what other people have. The Bible says when the news reached Jezebel, his wife, she went to find out what was the matter with Ahab. And she asked him in verses 5 and 6, "Why are you so silent? Why won't you eat?" And then Ahab responded, "Because I said to Naboth the Jezreelite, sell me your vineyard, or if you prefer, I'll give you another vineyard in its place. But he said no." Now notice that Ahab didn't tell Jezebel all that Naboth said, the real reason why he said no. Ahab left out the most important part of the conversation. The first thing he said is, "God forbid." That's what he said. "God forbid that I shall sell my vineyard to you, my people's land." So God was first on Naboth's mind. And Ahab, when you look at him, he was far richer and more powerful than Naboth. He was the king over Samaria, the northern tribes. His residence in Jezreel was a summer house, and his permanent residence was in Samaria. He had more than enough, is what I'm trying to say. He had all the power, while Naboth didn't have any. Yet Ahab was determined to get his hands on Naboth's vineyard, one of his subjects, someone he should have been serving and taking care of as king. You know, there are some people who are a little bit like that. There are some people like Ahab who, no matter how much they get or how much they have, they still want what you've got. As they call it in the Caribbean, your red eye. They want what they see. How many of us are sometimes led astray by coveting what other people have? God said you should not covet your neighbor's house, right? In Exodus 20. Ahab wanted to have what was not his. And oftentimes, we want what we want because we just want it. It's not a need sometimes, or it's because we can actually do it, and we can put somebody else off their foot because we have power over them. I'm reminded of David, who coveted or desired Bathsheba, and the Bible says that he planned, he schemed, he plotted, and even murdered to get what he wanted. That was abuse of his power. I'm reminded of Amnon, David's son, who wanted or coveted his half-sister Tamar. He planned and schemed and plotted until he raped her. And we could go on to many stories in the Bible of such issues where people abuse their powers. Too often we want what we want because we want it. And sometimes we don't care how many people we hurt in the process, as long as I get what I want. And sometimes we haven't considered the long-term consequences of our actions. Naboth couldn't sell out of respect for God because it was his land that God had given to him. Naboth could not settle the situation by just submitting to the king because he did not want to. It meant if he did that, he would go against God. He could have, however, bartered for, you know, a more favorable position, but he did not either. He wouldn't compromise because that was not his style. Nothing could get him to sell out of his faith because he loved God. And Naboth wasn't afraid to tell the king to his face, "You can't have my vineyard. You can't have what God has given to me." And I wish some of us would be upstanding and strong sometimes when we're placed in a situation, maybe at work or some other situation, even in the church sometimes, when we just can't seem to say what we should say. When we see something is wrong, we don't say it. We just compromise and say nothing. But Naboth, he spoke up, he used his voice, and he said, "No, you can't have it." Now, when he said, "The Lord forbid that I should sell you this land," that statement is packed with meaning. What Naboth was saying really is that God comes first in my life. And I imagine that you didn't have to, you know, imagine whether this person called Naboth was a Christian. You know, some people you have to struggle to see if they're really a Christian. Sometimes their behavior, their conduct, the words that they say, the places that they go, and the things that they do is actually contradictory to the words they say, "I'm a Christian," or "I'm a Seventh-day Adventist." You didn't have that problem with Naboth. What he said, he meant. And when he said, "You can't have my inheritance," he was actually preaching a gospel message to Ahab. And it's a message that Ahab should have understood. He respected God too much, and he would keep God's word. And so, Naboth was a living witness for God and a testament to Ahab about his legacy, about his life. His life was tied to the land, the promises that was given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It was a symbol of what God promised to him and his ancestors for the future, our heavenly Canaan. He would not sell for love nor money, for no position or favor. Now, friends, just in case you forgot, it's not just about who we are and what we say. It's about much more than that as Christians, as Seventh-day Adventists. God has made us stewards of his message, of the gospel message that we should be preaching by our lifestyle and the things that we do. Too often, we sell out on God, though. Just like Ahab. Because of his alliance with Jezebel, who didn't believe or have the same faith as him. We sell out for all kinds of reasons these days. The Sabbath sometimes is not a sign for many of us. We have sold out on our morals, and some of us, we don't even have any left. The devil has gone with all of them. We have sold out and embraced the morals of the world, And we are supposed to be a peculiar, a different people in this generation. Yet, the way we conduct ourselves, yet the things we say, speaks a different story. I don't understand sometimes how it is that we can't love God more than the things of this world. I don't understand sometimes how we can't be like Naboth and say, God forbid that I should even do this. God forbid that I should even go to that place. God forbid that I should be associated with this. Sometimes we compromise a lot. The story goes on to tell us that when Jezebel listened to her husband and listened to the fact that, you know, how come you're a king and you're acting like you haven't got any sense? This is what she was saying. I'm just paraphrasing for you. She decided that I'm going to get you the land for you. I'm going to get you this little vegetable garden that you want. And so the Bible says that Jezebel went off and she wrote some letters in Ahab's name and put Ahab's seal on them and gave them to the elders and all the prominent advisors in the city. She told the elders to proclaim a fast as if something terrible had happened, as if the very city was at stake in verses 8 to 10. She arranged for Naboth to be seated in a prominent place, and she got two liars to come forward and testify that Naboth had blasphemed God and the king. So well was Jezebel's plan that Naboth was taken by surprise. He was found guilty. He was taken outside and he was stoned to death in verses 11 to 13. I mean, what a woman. If you have Jezebel as your enemy, you don't have to worry about what Satan is doing for you. Because the way she acted like she wasn't even human. Jezebel didn't worship God, but she sure knew God's law. You see that? She knew what blasphemy is. She knew that, you know, if anyone did anything against the king, he could be put to death. She knew that God's law required two or three witnesses in Jewish law to condemn someone. And so before Naboth could properly defend himself, he was condemned to death. He was executed. She threw him under the bus. The element of surprise was used to maximum effect that Naboth didn't even have time to respond. You know, sometimes when someone that you trust takes you by surprise, that you don't even have a word to say, you just shock. That's what happened to Naboth. He was so surprised and was taken outside and killed. And it is implied in the text, although it doesn't say it, that Naboth's surviving relatives would have received the same fate as him. In verses 13 to 14. So Jezebel wiped out all of Naboth's extended family, every one of them with just a pen and paper. Wow, wow, wow. And so the story goes on to tell us when the news carriers went back to Jezebel and told her that Naboth was dead, she informed Ahab and told him to rise up and take the field in verse 15. The text doesn't even suggest there was an ounce of sympathy or remorse from Jezebel. She spoke as though she was conducting everyday business when she, along with her husband, had killed an innocent man and his entire descendants. The whole family of Naboth had to be removed if Ahab hoped to take the vineyard. They knew that Naboth's land would become government property or their property if there was no surviving relatives to claim it. Now, you tell me, what kind of people do that kind of thing? Christian people do it. Christian people do this kind of thing as well. People of the world do it, but we do it too. The Bible goes on to say that Naboth wasn't even cold in the ground when Ahab was found in Naboth's field planning how he was going to set up his vegetable garden in verse 16. But I want to tell somebody here today that God not sleep. God is watching. There are many people who have the Jezebel and Ahab spirit. They don't care about who they hurt or who's frustrated. As long as they get what they want, they will step on and crush people no matter who they are, no matter how high or low they are on the pecking order, as long as they get what they want. But I'm just reminding you today that God sees everything. And maybe there's somebody here today who is going through some kind of injustice when you feel like, I need to take matters into my own hands. When people plan evil against you, when they plan your downfall, just hold on and remember, God has already decided the case. Because we can't see it, it doesn't mean it's not happening. God is working behind the scenes when people do horrible things to you. God says, I will repay. And so look at the story. In the plot of land that belonged to Naboth, God sent the word through Elijah the prophet to go and confront Ahab right there in verse 18. So just when, you know, people think that they've gotten away with something, what they've done last night or what they've planned, God has already sent a messenger. You might not see it, but he has done it already. He knows the crime, he knows the wrong, he knows the sin. And so God sent word through Elijah to confront him. Maybe there's somebody here today planning what they could do to get back what they think belongs to them. Well, let God deal with it for you. Amen. Let God be your guidance. Let God be your word. Because what God has planned, you can't match it. You can't match it. There are many, many Ahabs in the world. And there are many, many Jezebels in the world that do not care how they get what they want when they want it. And sometimes the truth, if it's been told today, that there are people just like Naboth as well. Sometimes injustice is done to us, and we may not live to actually see it come to pass, but God is the ultimate judge. He sees everything, and God will deal with the people who are like Jezebel and like Ahab. And God never forgets the death of his saints. Psalms 116, verse 15. Someone may have killed your good name, taken your job, your health, have mercy, your child or children, taken away something that belongs to you or harassed your family, but God sees every single thing. He is watching. Naboth was set up and mercilessly stoned to death, executed along with his entire family and relatives. Naboth didn't see the outcome of Ahab and Jezebel, but God did bring justice. If you read the book of 2 Kings chapter 9 and 10, God took Elijah out of hiding to bring a message to Ahab. Notice that God sent the messenger, Elijah, to Ahab, not Jezebel, at this time. You see, it was God who put Ahab on the throne. And we know that God sets up kings and he takes them down. And so like the spirit of Naboth coming back from the dead, Elijah appeared before Ahab in the plot of land where he was making a vegetable garden. Can you believe that? And so Elijah said to him, have you not murdered a man and seized his property in the place where dogs lick up Naboth's blood? Dogs will lick up your blood. Yes, yours, verse 19. You see that? And you know, there are people who, when they have been confronted, they still don't admit they're wrong. Because look at how he responds. He says to Elijah, "So you have found me my enemy," in verse 20. So even when "thus saith the Lord" comes to him, he doesn't even repent at this time. He doesn't see that he's done anything wrong. He calls Elijah his enemy. And Elijah says, "Because you have sold yourself to do evil in the eyes of the Lord, I am going to bring disaster on you. I will consume your descendants and cut off from Ahab every male in Israel, slave or free. I will make your house like that of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, and that of Baasha, son of Ahijah, because you have provoked me to anger and have caused Israel to sin." Wrapping up all things that Ahab has done. And then God says, through Elijah, "As for Jezebel, dogs will devour Jezebel at the wall of Jezreel," verses 20 to 23. Do you see God sees everything? Do you see that? He sees everything. And whatever we sow, we're going to reap it in the end. And Ahab's time had come. God does not forget the neighbors of this world. And sometimes our time on earth will be cut short by cruel and wicked people. But God has already passed judgment. That's what we need to remember sometimes when things have been done to us. So don't allow hate or anger to root up in your heart, because it will consume you and kill you. Especially as we know that our God is a just God. He will bring justice. So to those who've been hurt, those who've been abused, those who've been violated, those who have caused you spiritual death or decline, God has already passed judgment on those who have hurt you. You know, our greatest enemy is not people, although the devil uses people, but it is really Lucifer working behind the scenes. God's people will one day be victorious. All of us, for whatever we've gone through and whatever we've received at the hands of others. And sometimes people may face injustices, just like Naboth. Naboth was innocent. He stood for principle. He stood for the Lord, and he was cut down by the prince of the power of the air. But one day God will settle all scores. You know, God is still looking for modern day neighbors today in his house. And I pray and hope that there are some of us here today. People who will stand for principle. When wrong is right, we're going to stand up and say it. When right is wrong, we're going to say it. We're going to stand up. And we will say, "God forbid that I should do this thing," just like neighbors. Friends, you know, when we find ourselves in a situation where we didn't think we would be, you know, God is still merciful to us. He is still merciful to us. You know, Ahab knew God's law, but his greed and his alliance and his allegiance with Jezebel did not help him draw closer to God. It moved him further away from God. So the message today as well is to be careful who you associate with and who you give your time to. The Bible says in verse 25 that there was no one as wicked and evil as Ahab was in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel, his wife, stirred up. Do you see that? But God is merciful. I don't know what you may be going through today, but I want to take a few moments just to look at Ahab, how he responds to Elijah. When he hears what Elijah says, that God is going to cut off all your descendants, he's going to cut off all of your people, he then repents. He repents and he fasts and he decides to change his behavior. So you know what? People can change. People can change. You know, verse 29 is a very interesting verse because, you know, God says to Elijah, do you see how Ahab has responded to my message? And he says, I'm not going to bring the disaster in his time. I'm just going to stop there for a moment. You know, God gives us second, third, fourth, fifth chances to change our behavior. And we can if we really want to. Sometimes we just don't want to, but we can change our behavior. Ahab, when he saw what God was going to do, he changed his behavior. And God did not bring the disaster in his day. Brethren, whilst there is still life, whilst we are still alive, there is always hope. No matter how bad things is, no matter how low you get, no matter what is going on, and sometimes problems after problems come your way. But as long as we're still alive, there is still hope. There is a chance to change. And God's word can change us. So I'm just encouraging us today that in this life, we don't know what the future holds. You don't know what's going to happen from one day to the next. Make sure you are in Christ and your conscience is clean and clear so that if anything should happen to you, you know that when you next see the Lord, it will be hallelujah, praise the God, praise the Lord, I've made it. Amen. It won't be a sad time for any of us. You know, if today your life represents something more of Ahab and Jezebel, you can change. If you are like Naboth, praise the Lord, God is on your side. But God is always in the business of giving us second, third, fourth chances. And he can do that for any of us sitting here today. So often we misrepresent God like Ahab by our behavior and our conduct and our words and the things that we do. So often we sell out on God and trade what God has given to us for something less valuable. Don't trade off your principles that come from God. Keep God's commands. Do what is right. And when people mistreat you, let God decide. Amen. Because he is the one that will truly take care of business. No matter what we do, we can only go so far. And after that, you know, our time will come. But God, who sees everything and knows the heart of every person, is the one who is the fair and just judge. Amen. So, brethren, I'm just encouraging you today to be faithful like Naboth, to stand for principle, to speak out when you need to speak out, and do not sell your inheritance. Do not give it up for nothing. The Bible says that no eye has seen nor ears heard the things that God has prepared for us. And no matter what we go through, and some of us have gone through some serious stuff, there's still more to come. But if we hold on and stand strong, when we get to heaven, oh my goodness, are we going to rejoice? Are we going to be happy? We will forget all of the past. We will forget all of what we've been through because we have made it. And we will see Jesus face to face. Amen. So my brothers and sisters, be faithful to the end until he comes to take us home. Amen. Amen.